And it's another Open Mic Friday on Law and Gospel here on this July the 17th on AM 850 KFUO. And what do we say after that normally? Inspirational Christian Radio. It's kind of a motto for KFUO. Another one is from the letters KFU, you know, keep forward, upward, and onward. What do you think of AM 850 KFUO when that comes to your mind? We're going to talk about that today, and I'd like you to call in with your suggestions, your comments, or any questions on anything theological. Today, we're going to talk about branding in between calls, as well as a wonderful poem I received from God the Father to you. What? Yes, from God the Father to you. That's what we're going to be talking about, as well as answering questions that some of you have asked about. So, numbers are St. Louis area, 505-7850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, email, lawgospel@kfuo.org. So, at any time, I'd like you to phone in and tell me what you think about AM 850 KFUO, and I'll tell you why. Is in talking about branding products or branding nonprofit organizations or branding things, I discovered some great insights I never thought of before. We try and brand, for instance, Concordia Mission Society in a way that we want to be known as. And I discovered, well, the first thing that we're probably doing wrong is that we kind of have a different brand depending on what product we're talking about. And there's not a consistent brand that goes across all the products. So when somebody considers, like, lawgospel.com, when they're going to that webpage, what are they looking for? Well, there could be a whole multitude of reasons. And when you are properly branded, there's one major reason. Now, I think we're moving towards talking more and more about lawgospel.com, our website, as living under grace. That appears to be the brand we're moving with because it covers so much territory. And if somebody says to us in a year from now, yeah, as soon as I think of Concordia Mission Society or Law and Gospel, I think of living under grace. Obviously, the brand for this program is the distinctions between law and gospel. But what I discovered, a brand is not what you want something to be. For instance, you may want to have a certain reputation, and you work hard at having that reputation. Maybe you want to look good to others. Maybe you want to appear smart to others. Maybe you want to be rich and wealthy to others. Well, you work on that. That's your brand. But that's your hope for brand. You know what your brand is? Your real brand is what people think of when they think of you. And just think of actors or actresses. I won't name names, but one actor, you could say, wow, he can do a lot of roles. He's branded as multifaceted. Other actors are pinpointed in just one kind of role, and you never see them, even if they're in movies. That's the role they have. Some actors may be branded as being very arrogant. Others as not being very smart. So the brand is not how you perceive yourself, but how people perceive you. In fact, a good synonym for the word brand is reputation. What brand does your congregation have? What? How do we move from people and products to congregations? Well, we talked about that this week, that a congregation can have a certain brand. People can go there and say, they're very unfriendly. Or they're very legalistic. Or they may have a wonderful pastor, but I tell you, he doesn't know how to preach. In fact, in reading about branding, particularly in religious organizations, I found something very interesting, that there are congregations that call a pastor because they really want to reach out into the community. And so what they do, they get somebody who's really a good administrator. But he has a reputation of not being able to preach. And the books on branding indicate that for a lot of things that are branded, there's a personality behind them. And if he is not able to reach out with a message beyond his immediate congregation, then you're not going to be branded as an outreach congregation. I found that fascinating. And so one of the things we're doing with Concordia Mission Society for Pastors, How to Live Under Grace, we're trying to help them to do sermons that end up with a standing ovation of the heart. And for you laity, we're trying to help you to witness so that you can get a standing ovation from the person with whom you are speaking. That's our goal. But whether or not we're seen that way, I don't know. So during these 2 hours, if you would like to take the time and phone in and just answer this question, when you hear AM 850 KFUO, what's our brand in your mind? What comes first to your mind? What is our reputation? And we'll be glad to take your calls. 505-7850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. In between, I've got a poem I want to share with you. Let's start off with a question from Joel in Indiana. Pastor Baker, I hope you can give me some advice. I enjoy debating atheists on a Google message board, and I have run into a group that likes to use examples from the Bible where children or humans are sacrificed and God seems to either approve or seems indifferent. Can you give me an example on how to answer these points? Thanks. Love the show as always, Joel. Well, there is a passage in the scriptures that atheists and others use in an attempt to try and show that God really condones child sacrifice. And what we're going to do, and that's why I like the question from Joel so much, we're going to do a long gospel on this so that you'll come to a proper understanding of what is going on. Let me, first of all, read the passage. It's Exodus chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. And here's what it says. You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce and your juices. In other words, other translations say, you shall not delay to offer from the fullness of your harvest and from the outflow of your presses. So that would be grapes is the output of the presses, and perhaps pomegranates or whatever fruit is growing. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Now, that's really, really how almost every translation has it. You shall give me the firstborn of your sons. Then verse 30 goes on. Likewise, you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day, you shall give it to me. Now, what does that mean? You see, Scripture interprets Scripture. And here's a perfect example of law and gospel. If you're living under the law, then you would be thinking of what God is saying, like we imagine every other religion. It's a religion of a God of justice, and you have to placate him. You have to appease him. And I'll tell you, that's just not Christianity at all. There's nothing you need to do. Paul Clayton, with his guest on the Ask the Pastor Hour, did a wonderful job in using items from the Internet to show how confused people are about how you are saved. You see, if you ask the question, how can I be saved? Well, you expect the answer to be something along certain steps to take. And he pointed that out. And a professor from Seward did a marvelous job in showing that that's not the God of the Bible. You see, radical theology is not commonsensical theology. So like in every other religion, there are things you need to do, steps you need to follow, works you need to accomplish, thoughts you need to have, words you need to say, But in Christianity, there's nothing an unbeliever can do. So, in religions, and atheists put Christianity, they lump us with everybody else, that there's no doubt that in certain religions, like there was a god of Molech at the time of Israel, and pagans would sacrifice their children to this god. So when an atheist reads that you shall do with your children what you do with your sheep and your cattle, they get the impression right away that the firstborn of your sons you shall give to me, that means to sacrifice them. And they would even point to something like Isaac. You know, God said to go and kill him. But Scripture interprets Scripture. For example, in baptism, parents not just dedicate their child to God, they give their child to God. For through baptism, which is a miraculous sacrament, God takes that child from the kingdom of Satan and places that child in his holy Christian church. He becomes an adopted family member of the Holy Trinity. Now, that's not something that sacrifices the child. You see, you need to look at the Bible in the context, and you will find out that there is nowhere in the entire Bible that God condones sacrifice of children to him. This whole idea about giving your children to God is really a way of redeeming them. To give them to God means that you will raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For example, the first offspring, according to Numbers 18, of every womb, both man and animal, that is offered to the Lord, it's yours. But it says you must, and here comes the big word, redeem every firstborn son and every firstborn male of unclean animals. When they are a month old, you must redeem them at the redemption price set at 5 shekels of silver, according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. Now, the point being there is giving to God, even in the ceremonial act, is a way not of buying your children in the kingdom of heaven. The money is only out of thanks for what God has already done. But it means to give your children to God, it means to redeem them. Remember, right now, when they are born as sinners. They are part of the kingdom of Satan. You give them to God so that they are now redeemed. It doesn't mean at all that you're to sacrifice them. And would you like some Bible verses? Now, of course, atheists, they don't agree that everything in the Bible is God's word. So they're going to say, no, there was another person who wrote this. God had nothing to do with this. But in Leviticus 18:21, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Now, in case you're saying, well, that doesn't say that God doesn't want you to sacrifice children to him, well, listen to Deuteronomy 12:31. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. Because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. So the next time an atheist gives you a song and dance, that Exodus 22 means that in giving your child to God, it means you're sacrificing him, help them to understand how God thinks. See, that's all that witnessing is sharing with another person the way God thinks as revealed in his holy word. Now, that may not move them to agree that that's the way God thinks, but at least now they're not going to be able to use the argument, according to the Bible, that God desires the sacrifice of children, because according to Deuteronomy 12:31, he specifically hates that children are sacrificed to gods. And that The people of God are not to do that in any way. It is detestable to the Lord. Now, obviously, the people of God, if they were going to do it, would be sacrificing to the true Lord. But it is detestable to him. In fact, let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft. That's Deuteronomy 18, verse 10. And to use the sacrifice of Isaac is a real joke, because the bottom line is Isaac was not sacrificed. What did God know about Abraham's faith? He knew that Abraham was willing to do it because Abraham trusted something. He trusted the word of God that said, in Isaac all nations shall be blessed. So how could he have that trust that in Isaac all nations will be blessed and then be prepared to kill him? Because according to the book of Hebrews, Abraham believed that Isaac would be raised from the dead if he did kill him. And by the way he was about to kill him is not just put a knife into him, but burn him on the altar. So Isaac would be just ashes. What a faith Abraham had. Now, how could he have that faith? Well, according to the Bible, Abraham had already seen a miracle of God, that from the dead womb of Sarah, guess what happened? Isaac came forth. So if God can create life, a baby, within what is normally a dead womb, remember Sarah was 90 years old when she had Isaac. The promise came to her when she was 65, and Abraham was 75. And even then they laughed at God. At least Sarah did. Then God took 25 more years before he fulfilled his promise. Boy, that is really something. Just in case people thought that maybe Sarah would still be young enough to have a baby at 65. Okay. Let's go all the way to 90. That's what God did. And, of course, he halted the sacrifice of Isaac and indicated that it was a testing of the faith, which doesn't mean that Abraham had to pass some kind of test. It meant a strengthening of his faith. And remember, Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He was justified by faith alone. In fact, you're saved the same way Abraham is. So I really appreciate this question from Joel. Does the Bible condone child sacrifice? Atheists may think it does because they don't read the Bible in context. And why don't they read the Bible in context? Because they don't believe about the Bible, but you and I believe about the Bible, that though there are many writers, there is only one author. And that author is none other than the Holy Spirit. All things were inspired by him. So that everything you read in the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that you may be thoroughly equipped. If you ever think you need to go outside the Bible to become more equipped to know about God, that's false teaching. So we don't listen to people who have additional revelation. Am I saying God cannot give additional revelation? Well, to a single person, he may, but that person has no right to proclaim it as the word of God, because that person has no idea as to whether or not that was the devil or God giving him that information. Remember, the devil can also come in visions. The devil can also say things that are new. I've never understood how at a seance people really believe that these are dead relative spirits coming back and telling them, because they know things that nobody else knows. Well, except for the demons. They were around during that lifetime. Remember, demons don't die. They're going to have an eternity in hell. They're not eternal like God is, because they had a beginning. God had no beginning. But they, with all unbelievers, will spend an eternity in hell to meditate upon their particular existence prior to the judgment day. Yeah, the Bible definitely does say that child sacrifice is something that the devil really encourages. And there was a god named Molech. Now, is that happening today anywhere in the world where children are being sacrificed on some kind of idolatrous altar? Well, it happens at every abortion clinic. Every time a decision is made to put to death a child in the womb, that's at the altar of Satan. And that altar is one which, of course, Satan can give all kinds of excuses. Well, we don't want to bring an unwanted child into the world. You know, isn't that interesting? People want to do that with their pets. Do you have a pet? Now, let's say you get sick and you're unable to take care of your pet, and somebody comes to you and says, well, look, we decide we put the pet down because nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted to take care of him. So we just want to give you the comfort. You don't have to worry about your pet anymore because it's dead. Oh, yeah, that's really going to go over well. Pets become more important than human beings. Now, am I as bad as somebody who's had an abortion? Well, of course, because sin is sin. Do I make excuses for my sin? Of course. Is there forgiveness for me? Not only for me, but for those who have also had an abortion, who now recognize the evil they played in the land of Satan, and there is forgiveness. Now, will that take the guilt away? No. Is there any guarantee that the child you aborted is going to be in heaven? No. Is there any guarantee the child you aborted is going to be in hell? No. Will we leave all things up to God in that particular situation? All I can tell you, as you are contrite and trust in Jesus to forgive that sin, you will have full bliss in heaven, and whatever God's decision is in regard to your child, it will not mitigate away from your bliss. Now, I don't understand that, but I believe it. See, that's what's so different about Christianity. Every other religion, to believe something, it's because you understand it. It makes sense. God is a cruel God, and you need to mitigate his wrath. You need to appease him. And when you do that, he begins to like you, then he loves you, and maybe even saves you. Does that make sense? And you believe that. But in Christianity, we believe things for which there is no rhyme or reason. It goes against common sense. Mel Gibson, when he did his movie, The Passion, did you know he was in that movie? Like Alfred Hitchcock was in every movie he ever made, but you never really recognized him. I'll tell you where Mel Gibson was. His arms were shown nailing the spikes into Jesus. Boy, that says something about his faith and his love for God. More after the break.
Next time on the Bible Study, Pastor Chris Agnew of Trinity Lutheran Church in Silver Creek, New York, joins us to talk about chapter 1 of Luke. We continue with Christmas in July, verses 26 to 38, where the birth of Christ is foretold. And we have quite a distinction between Zechariah and his doubt at Gabriel's message and how Mary receives the news that, though a virgin, she's going to conceive a child who will be the Son of God.
Underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Understanding Memory Loss is the core education program of the Alzheimer's Association of St. Louis. The program provides a thorough overview of memory loss, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease, while including information about research, treatments, and how to get a diagnosis. It forms the foundation for other education programs and is open to the public. The next Understanding Memory Loss program will be held July 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. at the St. Louis Chapter Office, 9370 Olive Boulevard. Advanced registration is required.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer with the James Dobson Family Minute. Sometimes holding boys back from starting school too early can give them an advantage throughout the rest of their education. Here's my colleague, Dr. James Dobson.
I strongly recommend holding a child back, a boy back, in kindergarten and the first grade. You just give them an advantage all the way through because they're behind the girls already anyway. And if they're already a little immature with the boys, they're behind everybody. And so there are a lot of things that you can do. But the truth of the matter is school is hard on many boys. It's just not easy for them, especially in elementary school.
Boys typically mature slower than girls. By putting your boy in a class where the girls are younger, you even out the stakes a bit. You may even be giving your son an extra shot of confidence that will affect his entire school career. For more on raising happy, healthy kids, come visit our website. You can find us at family.org.
As near as I can tell, the Christian Church is the only organization ever created in which the requirement for membership is that the people who wish to join must be unworthy of being accepted for admission.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m.
There are some people who are hoping that when they get to heaven, that their good effort, their good works here on earth, will be enough to get them into eternal life with God. We talked about that with Pastor John Lukomsky recently on the Bible study. Here's how he viewed that approach.
That's not the way he's provided for you to have eternal life and salvation. He said, here's how I want to give you eternal life and salvation. I want to forgive your sins for the sake of my Son, Jesus Christ, who, as you brought up in the very beginning, is your substitute. That's how I want to do it. And I'm not going to do it any other way. And how, you know how I want to do it? I want to throw water on you and give you my Holy Spirit. And I want to feed you with bread and wine that will be my body and blood for you for the forgiveness of sins. And I want to give you a book that is not a book of stories and myths, but it is my word that, as one of our previous callers said, actually created everything you see before you. And it can create a new heart, a new mind within you as well. This is how I'm doing it. To do it any other way is to tempt the Lord.
Listen to the Bible study to learn more about salvation in Christ alone. Weekday mornings, 10:05.
The Jefferson National Expansion Memorial, better known as the Gateway Arch, is open each day this summer from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. The nation's tallest monument has many activities in addition to the journey to the top of the Gateway Arch. There's the Lewis and Clark Great Journey West film in the Odyssey Theater and Monument to the Dream documentary in the Tucker Theater. Or you can simply view the mighty Mississippi from the arch grounds. All access passes and information are available online at gatewayarch.com.
Tom Baker, Law and Gospel here on this Friday, July the 17th. This is Open Mic Friday, and in between we've got a number of things we're going through. For example, in the first part of the hour, we answered a question that atheists are indicating that God actually desires the sacrifice of children. And we found out that in the context, not only does God think that is detestable and abominable, but instead of giving the children to God as a sacrifice, he's talking about redeeming them. And we do that today through the waters of baptism. And then we are also talking about branding. If you like to call us, and here's one thing you could talk about. When you think of AM850KFUO, what do you think of first? What's our reputation in your mind? The numbers here are 505-7850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And if it's a negative item, we need to hear that as well as if it's positive or if you have some comments about, well, what could be changed on AM850KFUO. If you were listening today to the morning shows and the afternoon shows, I'll tell you, they were great Bible study and Ask the Pastor this morning. And then Mark Hawkinson, I didn't hear that much of him, but he's always got some great comments to make in between music that is played. And, you know, the afternoon show is coming on board with Lettner and with Diane Summers. And guess what? They're going to be, I think, going to Wikipedia again today. And I always like listening to who they have on to try and figure out why the definition in Wikipedia is always wrong from God's point of view. In my mind, AM 850 KFUO provides, therefore, a theme and a point of view as to how God thinks that you really don't find in a consistent manner on any other radio station in the entire world. And by the way, my producer, Gary Duncan, has come up with a way in which you can be listening on your car radio to AM 850 KFUO, even if you're in California. And I assume even if you're in Europe. And even on your iPhone. So we're going to be giving more information out about that, I'm quite confident, so that you can take AM 850 KFUO wherever you're going in the country. Going on a little vacation? Well, let's not lose listening to it. And you're hearing it live, too. And if you're near a phone, you can always phone 1-800-730-2727 to ask a question. And in the St. Louis area, the number is 505-7850. In working with this film, the actors and the writers, called The Gladiators, we've talked about this a little bit. It's about half done, actually been filmed, and we're helping them with some suggestions as to the kind of theology that ought to be in this. And they sent me a poem. All it is Bible verse after Bible verse from Almighty God. Now, unfortunately, some parts are questions that the text really doesn't say. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But there are so much good items here. It was put together by a man named Barry Adams in 1999, and it is entitled The Father's Love Letter. Now, when I first started reading it, I thought it was a letter from a human father to his human son. But upon further reflection, it's clear this is a letter from God the Father Almighty to you as his child. What he says is then backed up with a Bible verse. And by and large, what he says is really what the Bible verse is talking about, but there are a few examples I'm going to show you that it's not true. But let's stay with the positive right now. The first thing is, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. That's Psalm 139, verse 1. Now, that's really good. Because how many times have you gone to a doctor, and you may not know the doctor, maybe the first time, but he has gotten your medical papers from your former doctor, maybe who's retired, and he actually knows a lot more about you than you know about him. But that's a comfort. That's the way you want it. You don't want to know more about your doctor than he knows about you. And God is your spiritual physician. So, yes, we don't know that much about God. The Bible is a really, 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 really small book. Doesn't have that much information about God at all. Probably 0.01%, if that much. There is so much about God that remains hidden from us that there's a whole theological concept called the hidden God. And that's where a lot of our questions remain unanswered. And particularly a lot of things that are happening in your personal life. God does not reveal to you the reason why he permits this. But because he knows everything about you, he will never give you a snake when you ask for a fish or a rock when you ask for a loaf of bread. Going on, I know you when you sit down and when you rise up. That's Psalm 139, verse 2. That's a real comfort. I am familiar with all your ways. Psalm 139, verse 3. Now, Matthew 10 really shows us how specific God is in knowledge about you. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. You see, what this poem is, it's kind of like something that Job went through. Really particularly angry at God for the way his life has been going recently. So God just shows him his handiwork. Everywhere else. And Job then comes to the realization. If God is that interested in these other areas, well, then he's certainly interested in me. Acts 17:28, in me you live and move and have your being. Jeremiah 1:4-5, I knew you even before you were conceived. Now, have you ever thought about that? It can be backed up from Ephesians chapter 1. I chose you when I planned creation. We call it predestination, that God in his almighty wisdom did choose you before the foundation of the world. And that is such a comfort that as we believe in Jesus Christ, that was totally the work of God. Psalm 139, how many times have you felt that not only do you make mistakes, but you are a mistake? Boy, if God only had a chance to do it over again, or if you had a chance to relive your life. But here's what Psalm 139 says, you are not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. Though a lot of our actions are not predetermined by God so that we are forced to do some things, he does say he determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. That's Acts 17:26. In the Ask the Pastor this morning, as Paul Clayton was interviewing the professor from Seward, he said the big three questions that young people are asking today, which he thinks are different, they move into relationship. They want to know, what is the purpose in my life? Who should I marry and where do I live? And they're asking God these questions. And the Seward professor gave an excellent answer, is that, you know, our answer isn't any specifics on any of that. Our answer is God doesn't really care as long as you remain faithful to him. There is such a freedom we have as Christians to pursue any avenue that may come into our mind as long as it's not sin. And all of God's blessings are going to be carried along into that lifestyle. I see people really struggling. Boy, when I get out of college, should I be a policeman or should I be a lawyer? Or should I be a doctor? Or should I be a musician? Or should I be a computer expert? Et cetera, et cetera. One of my children had specialized in music, and as he was about to get out of college, realized that his love really was in the area of computers, so he took a graduate year at Washington University and is an expert in computers as well as plays a mean piano. And I'm sure when he started college, he had no idea that was the way that things were going to go. Your purpose is where you're at right now. And if you change it, that becomes God's purpose for you. You make the decision. Now, there are some occasions when God would choose someone, like, for instance, a prophet or Moses to take the people out of Israel, or a pastor for, well, we believe that's a divine call for a particular congregation. But by and large, most other occupations, you're free to go wherever you want, do whatever you want. Marry whoever you want. Live wherever you want. Because God's promises come along with it. In Psalm 71:6, I brought you forth on the day you were born. John 8 is really an interesting item here. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. And Jesus ran into that all the time. Here's a great misrepresentation of the true God. It's found in a prayer by a Pharisee. I thank God I'm not like other people because I fast, I give a tithe, I go to worship. Boy, I am so much better than they are. Now, you see, you may think he's talking about himself, but he's also giving you a view of God that God thinks he's better than others, which is a lie from the pit of hell. In fact, Jesus gave a parable to show how untrue that was. And after he says that's what the Pharisee said, and then he said there was a tax collector who said, God, be merciful to me, a poor sinful being. And the tax collector went down to his house justified. The poem from which I'm reading is called My Child. And I've often thought, in fact, that's what I did for the actors as well as the writers. I sent them a whole series of Bible verses that I thought the character Jimmy in this film called The Gladiators would really be helped by. And it'd be very interesting. The way you can do it, there are books out there called Bible Promises. The one I have was put out by, believe it or not, Concordia Theological Seminary, or Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. And it is a book, nothing is in the book except promises from God. Now, my New King James Bible is a little over 1,200 pages long, but the promises are 367 pages long. Now, some of the promises are duplicated, but they have about 100 different subtitles that you could go to, like promises of salvation, promises for spiritual growth, promises for your personal needs, for your family, various relationships, the triumph of good. So promises for your personal needs includes for times of loneliness, fear, anger, frustration, guilt, rebellion, suffering, discouragement, depression, trouble, and so forth. Well, guess what? Now, within each of those categories, there's three or four pages of promises. So, for example, we'll just take one here where it talks about, you know, times of suffering. These things I have spoken to you, that you may have peace in the world. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that makes a difference. James, by the way, that was from John 16:33. James 5:15, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Wow. Psalm 22, verse 24, he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried to him, he heard. Wow. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to fall. And there's three more pages of promises. Now, what would I suggest you do? As I read My Child, the promises from the Father to a Christian, some of the verses were more meaningful to me than others. It's not that I understood some better than others. No, all of them were pretty simple to understand. It's that some of them hit home differently than others did. In other words, every one of us is different. In this sense, we have experiences, we have different sufferings, we have different tribulations, we have different sins, we have different temptations, we have different families, we have different workplaces. So my suggestion to you is either go to Concordia Publishing House and get a book on, this one is called Precious Bible Promises. And what you do, you begin at the beginning and you read through it. In preparation of sending the movie people promises that I thought might be helpful for the actor Jimmy, the main character, I went through over 200 pages of Precious Bible Promises. So I've got another 138 to go, and I'm sure I'll find more. But then I categorize them. Now, we're going to talk about this more next week. But it's something you may want to do, as to how there are certain Bible promises that are more meaningful to you right now than they might have been a year ago, and there are going to be some others that are going to be more meaningful to you a year from now because of the various circumstances that God permits you to be in then. Remember the gospel. When the Lutheran confessions talk about law and gospel in the Latin, there's called the Defense of the Christian Faith, which is the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, apology from the Latin word apologia, meaning defense of. And when Melanchthon, who was Luther's sidekick, wrote that in the Latin, he didn't put law and gospel, he put law and promises. And what he meant by that were not the promises of the law, like do this and you will live, but the promises of the gospel. He that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. These were not commands. This was not a command that you better believe and you'll be saved. No, this is a promise that if you believe, as you believe, you will be saved. Which means that faith wasn't something you decided. It was something given to you by the Holy Spirit. And so God gets all the credit for your salvation. As you go through this, and as you hear more of this of my child, maybe some of it's going to be helpful to you. Maybe some of it is not quite so helpful. And that's why to get one of these books, which lists the Bible promises in categories, can be quite helpful because you can see, now that's something I can use right now. Maybe to comfort either myself or somebody who's involved in the situation. I've been looking for those promises. In a sense, different promises of the gospel will sustain you at different times of your life. When I was a kid, I didn't have any really big needs. I got free food, I got free clothing, I got free bed, free home, free transportation. So I really wasn't that concerned. But today, some of those Bible verses are much more meaningful to me because I now have the responsibility to make sure that there are funds available so that my wife can buy White Castles for me or whatever. If you want to talk about what you think of first when you think of AM850 KFUO or you have anything else on your mind, why don't we go to the phone lines right now? The numbers are 505-7850, toll free, 1-800-730-2727. We'll start with Arthur. Hi, Arthur.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Another beautiful day in St. Louis County.
Yeah, one of these days you're going to phone when we got a hurricane or tornado coming through. I want to know what you're going to say then.
Thank the Lord it missed me.
Very good. Okay, Arthur, well, how can I help you?
I heard you mention something about in defense of the Christian faith. One of the contemporaries of Luther. We need that again today because it's under attack all over, even by the government. The government's introducing bills that's detrimental to the Christian faith. They want to legalize homosexuality, and they want to enact various arcane legislation that will hit the Christians.
Yeah, but Arthur, don't you think some people are doing a very good job? I was in California for 4 days, and that's the place where they were able to stop that homosexual union of marriage because a lot of Christians did their vocation and got out, voted against it, and took some action. Don't you think that is the idea of what Christians are supposed to be doing in the temporal world?
That's right, and that's why the thing is, they passed it, which was favorable to Christians, because they got out and did their duty.
But yeah.
Too many Christians feel like, oh, I did my duty. Now I can go back to sleep for another 5 years. The forces of the world are out there day after day working against the Christian religion.
I appreciate that advice, but before I let you go, Arthur, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of AM 850 KFUO?
AMA 50 KFU, Tom Baker and his program in the afternoon. Is that the right answer?
I'll send you your check for $20.
Only 20 bucks?
Thank you, Arthur.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. No, that's not the answer we want. We want an answer of what is our reputation with you? So let's go to our next caller and see. Brian, can you answer that question first before you make your comment?
What's the question again?
What's the thing that comes to your mind when you think of AM850 KFUO?
Well, originally I thought it was just Lutheran radio, but after having listened to it for a while, now I think of it as a faith radio.
Faith radio?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's good. I appreciate that.
I wish it was, you had one more letter on your acronym. It could be Keeping Faith, Understanding Our Father.
Oh, Keeping Faith,
understanding our Father.
The only problem is that the FCC only allows four letters. So we would have to be K-F-U-O-F. Boy, oh boy. All right, what you got on your mind?
You know, you were talking about the law earlier this week and how it's such a drudge and how it's difficult and how harsh it is. And I was wondering, in heaven, will we still be looking at things in terms of law and gospel and appreciating the law and enjoying it as much as the gospel, or will everything just be gospel?
Well, remember, there are three uses of the law. The first use is going to be gone entirely in heaven because that's to curb wickedness. So God uses the law to punish. That's gone. The second use of the law is gone also to show us what sinners we are so we can look for the gospel. Only the third use will be there, which we will know, and that is doing the works that please God, not because we want to get anything from him, because we have everything. And so the law will be a very salutary thing in heaven, and we not only will desire to obey him by our deeds, but even our thoughts and words will be absolutely perfect, just like they are in the angels.
Wonderful. Good description there. I'll have to remember that. I have a sister who is interested in reading a book about heaven, and I didn't know what to recommend to her. And you mentioned a Billy Graham book you said was good.
On what subject?
Heaven.
Okay, I was, angels, he's got one on. I thought he had one on heaven. I know he's got one on angels, which is, in my opinion, very good.
If you're going to get a book on heaven specifically, do you know one that just talks about that, or is it just something that's mentioned as a part of a bigger subject?
Well, there's, it's actually part of, the best article I ever read on heaven was Concordia Publishing House puts out a series of three volumes called The Abiding Word. It was something they put together at the 125th anniversary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and each volume has a lot of topics in it, and it has one on angels, it has one on heaven, and it's basic, fundamental, biblical theology. Abiding Word from Concordia Publishing House, and sometimes they sell the individual volumes.
Great. Okay, I'll look for that.
Okay, thank you so much, Brian. And we're going to go to Sue, but not right now because we're at the end of our break. Sue, we will be back in a few moments. I do want to talk with you, so you can either stay on the line for 5 minutes or hang up and phone back with the 800 number, 1-800-730-2727. Our St. Louis number, 505-7850. And also, remember this, coming Monday, we're going to be talking about the rainbow that God put in the sky. What does it mean if people are still dying from floods? That's going to be Monday's lesson.
Listen to Law and Gospel with Tom Baker, Monday through Friday at 1:05 p.m., on AM 850 KFUO. You can write Pastor Tom at AM 850 KFUO, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or at this email address, lawgospel@lawgospel.com.